Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you doing today?
You know, today's another good day.
It is.
I'm trying to make it a great day. And you know what's going to make it even greater today?
What's that?
Our guest.
That is. That's true.
Yes.
We're continuing our series on physical medicine. So we have practitioners on the show that do physical medicine that can help our listeners with their physical medicine problems.
Right.
Whatever. Health issues. So our guest today is Ellie Stahl. He's an acupuncturist on the island. His formal title is East Asian Medical Practitioner. And he's also a licensed massage therapist. So I'm
acupuncturist.
Well, I said that, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you? Oh,
that
I'm
was
sorry.
Before the formal.
Tune in, Claire.
That's okay. So welcome, Ellie.
Hey.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I usually start off just asking, you know, how my guest became interested in the field that you're in. So how did you become interested and start practicing acupuncture?
Well, okay. I lived on Orcas Island. I was working as a carpenter. I had about 11 acres up there, and I was starting to get a little hurt because carpentry is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was waking up in the morning a little bit in pain and also not as excited as I used to be. So I started looking around and figuring who were my friends, what was I interested in doing, how I can help the world to be a better place, and realized that a lot of my friends are massage therapists, acupuncturists, naturopaths. So I started looking into that, and I found a school down in California that I was interested in, and got a job there actually to build a straw bell meditation hall.
Mm. A carpentry job.
A carpentry job, right. Because I was a carpenter.
You know, that's just so poetic.
You could say.
Yes.
It was a great place down there called Heartwood Institute. So I went down there and got this job. And it gave me the opportunity to check out the massage school.
Mm.
And I get there and it turns out there was a guy named Paul Pitchford who wrote a book called Healing with Whole Foods, which is a mixture of Chinese nutrition and medicine and Western nutrition. It's kind of a giant tome.
Yeah, actually, I think I just heard about that.
I think I've heard of it too.
Well, I've got two or three copies if you ever want to borrow them.
Really?
But
I might take you up on that.
So he taught Shiatsu there, but he happened to also be an acupuncturist and taught Tai Chi and Qigong. So I just started studying with him and fell in love with the philosophy and spent the whole year doing that, plus going then enrolled in the massage school and did that for 9 months. And it was a fantastic experience. And I just knew right away, once I started doing that, that I just needed to continue. Mm-hmm. So I came back to Seattle and pretty much got right into school. Actually, it was more magical than that. There was somebody I knew from Orcas who had gone to acupuncture school. And she turned out to be the admissions dean. So it was sort of like I walked right in. And
nice.
Everything just sort of flowed.
Okay.
So I enrolled a month after I graduated from
massage school. Nice.
Wow.
Okay.
Good story.
Yeah, I like it.
I liked it.
Okay. So why don't you tell me, can you tell me a little bit about the history of acupuncture? I mean, I think it's one of the most ancient forms of medicine, isn't it?
Well, that has come down intact anyway, or at least written down.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of traditional medicines that are still practiced that were not necessarily written down.
Mm.
But this was written down at least 25 to 3,000 years ago.
Wow.
So
yeah.
It's sort of been an ongoing conversation and teaching ever since then, which I think was what really attracted me to it, because there's a long lineage.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I figured the Chinese wouldn't use, well, not just acupuncture, but wouldn't use the medicine as a whole, which includes herbs, moxibustion, which is heat, mm-hmm. cupping, and other techniques, wouldn't have used it this long because I didn't think they were that, you know, I think they had a lot more intelligence mm-hmm. than just they wouldn't just do it forever without any reason.
Right, without some good results.
So with good, something had to come out of it. You know, people just don't do something for that long without some results.
Yeah.
So that sort of reassured me.
Nice. Okay. So can you just tell me, so you do acupuncture. Do you also do moxibustion and cupping and those things?
I do a lot of cupping. I do some moxibustion, mm-hmm. Some massage when it's appropriate. acupuncture, electroacupuncture oftentimes these days, especially with pain.
What's that, electroacupuncture?
So you put the needles in and then you have alligator clips and you put them on the needles and it goes into the tissue and then it really helps the tissue release and heal better. And I used to not do it, but I found that I had a teacher who said, just try it for a year. Mm-hmm. Give it a chance. Because mm-hmm. I thought, well, the old practitioners, 2,000 years ago didn't have that.
Right, right.
And then I started realizing actually they had apprentices who were manipulating the needles. So since I don't have a whole bunch of apprentices who are working for free,
right?
That was my compromise, or maybe these were my little workers and my 9-volt batteries. Yeah.
So do you think that could help, like Sherman's ruptured Achilles?
Sherman
from the Seahawks last night, he ruptured his Achilles.
Well, it's so ruptured, it can help the recovery. If it was partially torn, absolutely.
Partially torn, is what I've heard.
It depends on how partial. Is it, 5%, 10%, 20%? If it's more than 20 to 30%, no. I think he's got to get it repaired. If it's any more than that, at least sewn together. And then the recovery would be a lot quicker if he does acupuncture. Lately, I've been studying with a guy named Whitfield Reeves, and he's a sports acupuncture orthopedic teacher, and it's amazing what I've been able to do and what he does. He worked with athletes, Olympic athletes, runners, football players, and has amazing results.
Wow.
And I've been having really interesting
results. So it can be preventive and curative as
absolutely
well.
Yes, both.
Nice. Okay, so can you explain a little bit more about acupuncture? What does it do for the body?
There's a whole theory, and I don't know if I want to go into all the theory because it gets all
complicated.
It's a different language, and I could spend like a next hour talking about the terms, but generally I think it releases the tension both in the body and the mind. Mm-hmm. And which helps recovery and helps the body come into some sort of homeostasis. And since our body really wants to be healthy, generally speaking, mm-hmm. it through homeostasis is just a way it does that, and acupuncture assists that. And also, scientifically, they've shown that after acupuncture releases of endorphins, dopamine,
mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Opioids, cannabinoids,
that's so cool.
Totally increase. So there is something going on. Also, I remember about 15 years ago, I read an article in Discover magazine about a Korean gentleman who had created the PET scan, and he hurt his back when he went back to Korea, and then he looked at he hurt his back and it got better through acupuncture. So then he decided to study it, and he looked at the brain. Got an acupuncturist and looked in the brain in different places, acupuncture points that were supposed to turn different parts of the brain on, or at least in theory. And lo and behold, it did hold up.
Interesting.
So I have that magazine somewhere if I could find it.
Nice. Well, can I take you back to what you said about cannabinoids and opioids?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Just that there's such an epidemic of opioids in this country, and it's like a national emergency, I think they're calling it now.
Absolutely.
So if one can find treatment through, say, acupuncture or massage or physical manipulation, that would be a great alternative to, you know, needing pills, right?
Beyond, yes, it would be much preferred, and it should be the first line of treatment, really, because it's a lot less harmful, all of them. And there's many different modalities, but all of them are much better than opioids. As a matter of fact, all the states have realized this is a problem, and they're actually engaging many of our associations, and there's also been a ruling by the organization that rules hospital, that oversees hospitals, that they need to start including non-prescription forms of pain control in hospitals. So that's coming online in January 2018.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. I don't know how that's going to play out. There's always issues with access, meaning insurance.
Right.
In different states. It's not bad in this state, but it's certainly still not very good concerning acupuncture and Medicaid, and certainly not Medicare at all. So, though, just recently, I want to say that LNI is doing a pilot project for acupuncture just with back pain, but it's taken us 20 years to get the okay to do that. And so they're doing a pilot project. Hopefully that is successful. And then 2 years down the line, they'll open it up to other conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a new exciting development in the state.
Yeah.
So when you're saying that, I was thinking about people that are so immersed in, I'll take a pill to fix that. So there'll be a psychological shift as well that become more mainstream to look at those alternative types of therapies.
Well, I think a lot of people are starting to realize, hopefully, that there's a big issue here, and that's not always the best way to go. I do also think there's a cultural shift going on. Certainly, the baby boomers are less apt to want to take drugs. In my eyes, in my experience, in the last 5-10 years, it's acupuncture and other modalities have gotten much more popular, partially because baby boomers are growing up and starting to really need these services.
Right. That would be me.
Right. You know, from all the way from things like shingles, just regular pain, aches and pains, arthritis, to, you know, a lot of other conditions. So they're the baby boomers, in which I happen to be the tail end of, we don't really want to do drugs unless we absolutely have to. And I'm not the only one either. So not everybody's like that, but many people are starting to wake up to the downsides to drugs.
Mm-hmm. Side effects, negative side effects.
And what you had a statistic earlier that you mentioned about deaths from overdoses?
My understanding is 50 to 60,000 deaths per year of opioid overdoses. And, some of them, sometimes what happens is people get on prescription drugs and then they're pulled from it, or it's just not enough and then it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. And then they wind up with street drugs. And right now there's a fentanyl. Is, I think it's 1,000 times stronger than heroin.
Wow.
I'm not sure it's 1,000. It's way higher.
Yeah.
So, you know, a little tiny bit can kill you. Mm. And so it's sometimes unknowingly cut with heroin. Sometimes people are using it. They know it's what killed Michael Jackson, right? And other people. And it's people are dying left and right everywhere in this country. It's more than all the people in 1 year who died are dying from opiate overdose from then Vietnam.
Wow.
So it's a serious deal.
It is.
It's very sad, actually.
It is. Okay. I'm going to take a little break here on this heavy moment here to say you're listening to Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 FM, Vashon Island. And I am Dr. Lisa Morse, and I'm here with Claire Denice, personal trainer and health coach. And we're talking to Ellie Stahl, East Asian medical practitioner, acupuncturist.
Ellie, you mentioned cupping, and I do know what that is and have experienced it with your skillful hands. Would you talk just a little bit about cupping and, you know, when you're using needles for a certain condition, or what those things do? Like, is cupping sort of like the reverse of massage?
Right. It's negative pressure. Of course, a lot of people who've watched Michael Phelps swim in the last Olympics.
Now they know what cupping is.
Now it's like mainstream.
That's cool.
I've actually had a few people come to my office and say, do you do cupping?
Really?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time, 20 some odd years. So, but it's kind of funny to me. But yes, it's negative pressure, and as a result, it works with the fascia. I use it oftentimes to work with the fascia and muscle congestion or constrictions, adhesions, that kind of stuff. And it really seems to break up and release those areas fairly well, you know, with along with other things, including that's what the needles will do too, in a way. It just sort of relaxes the so basically when I'm working on the area of I'm working with where the junction of the bone, the tendon, the bone and the ligament and the muscle and the tendon and those junctures oftentimes. And also motor points is where in the muscles is where the nerves go are innervate. So you work on those areas and then also distal points that are along those meridians or pathways that go through that area.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I work.
Okay. Nice.
Well, that's interesting to know that it involves so much more than just like the muscle.
Yeah, it's a lot more.
And that you can get joint relief as well.
Absolutely. You can't always get it in the joint, but if you get it around it and give it a little impulse, it's amazing the body kind of has an ability to heal it or at least maintain. I mean, I'm thinking of someone I've just recently started seeing she's a little bit overweight. This is not on island, so I'm not revealing anything, but she came in with 8 out of 10. I saw her yesterday. I saw her 2 times, and she's down to 2 out of 10 pain. Now she's a bone on bone. It's not like that's, I can't bring cartilage back. You know, this medicine is not going to bring cartilage back. Nothing can. But she's just amazed that she can totally function. She works as a nurse, and she's up and down. It doesn't bother her when she gets up and down all that much. So at 2, she can live quite well. And that's probably where we can get to, maybe a little less.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and just giving somebody back their life where they can actually do their work and do their livelihood and get around. That's invaluable.
Until someone's in pain, until any of us are in pain, we don't realize how it affects everything. And to get it down to that level from 8, and that, you know, that's probably where we're going to be at, and I'll probably have to do a maintenance schedule, which she's quite happy doing.
Okay, nice. So it sounds like you treat a lot of pain.
I do probably, I would say approximately 80% of the time.
Okay.
Some internal medicine, digestive issues and whatnot.
Okay.
So if you were doing more preventive, if you correct the 80% that come to you for pain, then do they only come back when there's pain, or do they get into more preventive, like you said, a maintenance kind of thing?
I would prefer that, but you know, it's human nature that people come when they have a problem. I would say 75% of the time, it's then incumbent upon me to educate. So sometimes I try to tell people come back at least when change of seasons.
Right.
Because there's a lot of transition. Whenever there's a transition in life or even in seasons, it affects us. Knowingly or unknowingly, if you observe this time of year, people wind up having a little bit more joint pain, a little bit more achiness, more depression, you know, the weather or the darkness. Seems like it descends on us fairly quickly all of a sudden.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, those
happened last weekend.
All those changes affect us. So it's a way to sort of help that, you know, and acupuncture can be one of those aids to deal with some of that. But so at minimal, I would say 5 times a year. There's actually 5 seasons in this area. And anytime, this late summer is its own really season. It doesn't go straight from summer straight to fall. It's, if you pay attention in August, there's a fifth season. So
really?
Interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. Yeah.
I think I love September.
No, it's great. But right before there's a hint of fall. And then it goes back to summer and then back, you know, back and forth. You know, there's this little, you just have to pay attention to it. But so I try to encourage people to come as one of those changes are happening.
Okay. Interesting.
Because everything outside of us is also inside of us.
So you practice on the island, I think I heard.
Yes, I'm here Lisa 3 days a week.
And if someone wanted to contact you?
Yeah, they can go, well, they can go to my website, stahlacupuncture.com, S-T-A-H-L, acupuncture.com, and on my all of my numbers and information is there. Okay. That would be the easiest.
Great. Okay. So, Ellie, could you just tell me or tell our listeners what someone might experience if, I don't know how many people are familiar with acupuncture, but I have heard of people being scared of, oh, needles, they're going to put needles in me. So just kind of tell our listeners what it would be like if someone would come to see you.
Well, if we didn't have needles, I think there would be a lot more people coming. But though, I think a lot of people are getting over their fears, yeah, mm-hmm. according to the statistics of how many people are using it. The needles are very thin. And they're also not hollow, so the needles that most people are used to have a space in between, and that's what kind of tears the tissue. This doesn't tear a tissue; it goes around tissue oftentimes. So you might feel a tiny, tiny little prick, but it's not anywhere near. Most people say, "Oh my fear was way bigger than the experience."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's probably true for a lot of things in life. But
so you don't draw blood.
No, I try not to. It's not the goal. Not at all.
Yeah. Okay. So you put. So do you put 2 needles in? Do you put 20 needles in? Like, or does it vary?
I would say my average is 15 to 20. Lately, I've been doing more needles in a certain area. So let's say you have a neck pain in, let's say I'll say a muscle, levator scapula, which goes from your scapula to your up your neck to your head, and I'll put 2 and then 2 or 3 and try to find the best ones low down, and then 1 or 2 up above. And so I will put multiple in areas and then hook them up to the electrode.
Okay.
But, you know, so, and then other needles in different places, depending right. on what's going on.
So that the needles in the levator scapula, is that to release muscle tension, or is it for pain, usually when someone has pain there? Or
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Restriction of movement, pain. And you find trigger points or spots that might be really tight, and it releases the muscles because it's usually near the tendon and the bone. So, you know, you're working with all those areas and trying to find the most active points.
Okay.
And you're also, correct me if I'm wrong, you're wanting to facilitate energy flow, right?
Sure. That's the way Chinese medicine... The Chinese, when we were taught that, that's how we were taught it, yes. Mm-hmm. That language, for some people, wouldn't work, right?
So it's too woo-woo?
It might be too woo. But yeah. There is an electrical current, and I believe that current is actually very subtle, but it's mostly in the connective tissue. That's mm-hmm. the one thing that wraps all the muscles, not just muscles, but individual muscle strands and all the way into organs. So that's like the communication system. And there is some research showing that there is something going on. Like, so sometimes I say to people, what's the difference between a person who just died and the person who was there alive 2 minutes before? Well, the difference is what you would call chi, or that little subtle energy that runs through the whole system. The body's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't quite broken down completely yet. So
interesting.
The chi is what's the vitality, the vital life force.
That charge of some kind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Electrical, you know, being a decent term to use.
Energy is probably the best interpretation, but it's only an interpretation of the Chinese. The Chinese is a little bit more subtle. There's all kinds of chi, actually.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't want to get too esoteric there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So do you have any interesting case studies? I always like to hear any clinical experiences that just have left you amazed or grateful for the therapy that you do.
Well, I was thinking about that. It's like every day. Well, I just told you one about the woman yesterday.
From 8 to 10,
I mean, if I do that once or twice or a week, or if that's the outcome, hopefully more often, I'm really happy. But I remember one day I was pumping gas at Williams, and this man comes up to me. He goes, I hadn't seen him in 8 years, and he's a carpenter, and he says, oh, you're the acupuncturist. And I said, yeah. He goes, you saw me, blah, 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 when? I'm like, okay. Well, I had back pain for years. You treated me once, and I haven't had it yet.
Oh, wow.
And I said, why didn't you call me back?
Yeah.
You know, people just disappear, and sometimes I have no idea. You know?
Yeah, you don't know if they're just still in pain, and they just don't want to come back.
No.
That's awesome.
So that was, you know, one of those kind of funny moments. And then it made me realize that people don't always call back, or, you know, they only come back and either if it didn't work or
right.
if they do come back, then I'll know. But if they just come once or twice and everything's good, they just go their merry way, which is good, but it's kind of nice to get feedback.
It is.
Yeah, we had one of those experiences recently too with someone who was working on weight loss but never came in. We were doing the kickstart at the Vashon Athletic Club, which was a group weight loss program.
Right,
and this
that.
Person never showed up. And then the owner saw her later. She goes, oh, yeah. She says, yeah, I lost 9 pounds. I was just too busy to come in. He goes, what?
Come back.
Come back. Give us your testimonial.
Yeah.
Well, these days, sometimes now I take to texting people, since texting is so easy, and, you know, checking in.
Yeah.
I don't always do that, but it takes a little time. But it's kind of good for me to know. It also fine-tunes my treatments and makes me a better practitioner, because I'm always trying to get better at my craft.
Right. So how long have you been doing this now?
Well, I started as a massage therapist in 1996, and then I graduated from acupuncture school, 1995, excuse me, and then 1998 is when I graduated.
Okay.
So almost 20 years.
I realized just recently I was going into my 20th year, which means I'm getting older. So.
That's okay.
Getting better.
That's right.
Getting better.
That's
and right. Along the way.
So just we're starting to move towards the end of our time today. But, you know, if you were talking to people, pretend you had an audience that we could see instead of a radio audience. What are the kinds of things that you would recommend for people in terms of why they should come to you, kinds of conditions, maybe a little more just beyond just pain?
Is this mostly about physical medicine? I mean,
anything.
Okay.
I mean, that's what we kind of gear these shows to be, but we're really open to hearing what all the things that you can have to help people, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, we've talked some about pain, but there's specific types, right? I mean, neck pain, back pain. I'm thinking of the things that most people come for, right?
Right. Back pain is a huge one out there.
It's a big one. Mm-hmm. Back pain's actually more complicated at times than we allow it. And sometimes it's less complicated than people think, though it's very debilitating. Hip pain, knee pain is very successful. Ankle injuries, elbow, tennis elbow or golfer's elbow.
Mm-hmm.
There's two different types. All kinds of issues like that. But also, I would say digestive issues. I really like treating that because it's oftentimes due to stress.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep and emotional issues can be quite useful, that kind of thing.
So it's interesting that if you say sleep or emotional issues, for instance, you wouldn't think that needles or cupping, for instance, would be a chosen remedy for something like that. So there's a lot of things that can be influenced, I guess, that wouldn't be in the mainstream of people's what they think is going to help. They think, oh, I have a spinal injury, then I might go. But if I have allergies or, you know, I'm not sleeping, then that, you know.
Well, when you think about if that endorphins and dopamine and all these chemicals can be released by acupuncture or needles, then that's how it affects state of mind.
Absolutely.
And since there is no real separation between mind and body, which is only a Western concept, that you start realizing that mind and body are really one. And that's the basis of Chinese medicine. And many other systems too, Ayurvedic, for example.
Yoga,
right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, only in this society do we have this notion of duality between the mind and brain and the body.
Right.
Which I think is a disservice to our health.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely. Okay, well, I think we're just about out of time. Is there anything else? Any last words, LA, for us? Words of wisdom or?
No, just keep on moving.
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's true.
Make sure you're hydrated.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, I say that every day in my yoga class.
Lots of fruits and vegetables. And
mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get that book from you. I'm going to take you up on that.
All right. The one by Paul Pitchford?
Yep.
Yes.
What's the name of the book?
Healing with Whole Foods.
Healing with Whole Foods.
It's not a very easy book to track, to tell you the truth.
Mm. What do you mean by that? Like,
it's just all over the place. The way it's organized, it's not very user-friendly unless you really have to ferret through it.
Okay.
So.
Well, I could. You never know. There might be some listeners that are interested.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You get a big surge at the library, putting it on hold.
It's thick.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Ellie. We really appreciate
you
coming on the show.
Yeah, really. It's so much fun to have you come in and help us with our little radio shows.
And again, if listeners, if you're interested in seeking out Ellie's help, you said the Stahl Acupuncture.
Stahlacupuncture.com. My number's on there. And also my email.
Okay. So. Great.
All right. Well, Lisa, once again.
It's been fun, and I look forward to next week.
Yes.
More physical medicine.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be here.
All right. Great.
Everybody have a great day.
Take care, everybody.